We come now to our second lesson entitled, I Go to Prepare a Place. And we find those words in, John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many abodes, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I want you to understand and know that where I'm going, I'm expecting to bring you with me and come back and get you. I would have told you if I was not planning to do that. But I didn't tell you because I do plan to come back and get you. So I want you to know, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Number one, don't be troubled because I am going to prepare a place for you. And it's a place where ye cannot come. Chapter 13 and verse number 33. So he can't be talking about heaven. I'm going to prepare a place. And this, you cannot come where I'm going. I must tread the winepress alone. I must accomplish redemption myself. I must be the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And you can't enter into that. You can't provide redemption for yourself, much less for anybody else. And that's where I'm going, to provide redemption for all those, that the Father hath given and chosen in me from the foundation of the world. My righteous servant shall justify many, and I shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Greatest word in the whole Bible. God the Father is going to be totally satisfied with everything because Jesus Christ has purchased God's satisfaction in our redemption. And he has purchased the damnation of the wicked, including Satan and the beast and the false prophet and all those who deny God. He that believeth not is condemned already. So this is a place that no other being can enter into. It's not given to the Father or the Holy Spirit to enter into it because Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he bowed his head and did what? Gave up the Spirit. King James said he gave up the ghost. Talking about the Spirit within him. What made Jesus want to die? No man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. Okay, the only one that has the power or the authority to cause the life of Jesus Christ to be taken from him is Jesus Christ himself. What made him want to do it? Why did he do it? Why did he do it at the time that he did? Because the God the Father hath forsaken him, and he didn't want to live anymore, and he gave his life to please his Father, and the Father could accomplish that which he would in the redemption of his elect. So Jesus Christ gave up his life. Nobody can go into that. You can't die when you want to die. You say, I can put a gun to my head and pull the trigger, yeah, but the bullet may hit your skull and travel around it. There have been people that's tried to kill themselves and it didn't work. You can't do this. This is a place you cannot come. And all preachers at all funerals want to read John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus is going to heaven to build you a cabin, to build you a mansion. Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come. Man, I hope it ain't true that we cannot come to heaven. You preachers need to get yourself straightened out and read your Bible. Move the word chapter and the number 14 out of the way and go back up there to chapter 13 and verse 31 and begin there and see what's going on. So I've had to preach it to myself because I couldn't hear it from any other preacher. Well, Jesus went to heaven to build a mansion. No, he went into the depths of hell and the depths of being rejected and forsaken by the Father. He went into the place of having all the sins of all of God's people for all time and eternity placed upon him. He had to die in such a horrible, I can't even describe it. I don't even know what to say. In such a horrible fashion because of the weight of the sin that became his. And Satan thinking that now I've got him because he has become sin. But what Satan didn't know, he didn't understand substitution. Yes, he became sin for us who knew no sin. You forgot to read that, Mr. Satan. It wasn't his sin. It was my sin. So you came after one that you said was a worthy victim. But you found out when you gobbled him up, he didn't swallow down so good. And God destroyed you through death, as we read this morning in the first lesson in Hebrews 2:14. He destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Gotcha. And what did that do? Delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus destroyed him, the devil, and delivered us that were under the bondage of death and sin. He himself, to refresh, he himself, John 13 verse 21, was troubled in spirit. And he was troubled in spirit, connected to Judas, sitting there eating bread with him, acting like everything was fine. There ain't nothing worse than no stinking hypocrite. Acting like he's you know, just right where he should be, eating bread with you. Eating your bread. Gobbling up your groceries. And all the time, death was in his heart. And Jesus said, I'm putting a stop to this. Jesus Christ was in control of everything having to do with his death, dear friend. And he said, let me show y'all who it is. Here, Judas. That's the last bread you're going to get from me. You're not going to get the bread of life. I am the bread. I'll give you this physical bread, but that just give you enough energy to get yourself over there to the Pharisees and to get your pieces, your reward. And he said, he knew that Satan entered into him right then when Jesus exposed who he was. And he said, that thou doest, do quickly. He commanded Satan in Judas, and Judas was Satan in him. Jesus was in control of Satan and Judas and said, go get it done. And then he was, he said, now is this, when he, verse 31, when Judas was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. So he went from being troubled before Judas was manifested to thinking about his glory after he sent him forth. So God is telling you, dear Christian, I know you're troubled at the way the world is. I know you're troubled at all manner of things. But God's in control of it. It's God's universe. The pandemic is God's pandemic. The hypocrites and the liars and the cheaters and those who spitefully use us, they are necessary. It must needs be that offenses come. But woe unto him by whom the offense cometh. It would have been better for him that a millstone would be tied about his neck and cast into the deepest sea rather than him touch one of my little ones. Great big old huge grinded stone, grinding wheel tied about his neck and thrown into the depths of the ocean miles and miles down and never to be seen or heard of again than for you to touch one of my little ones. But, Christian, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that led me safe thus far, and grace shall lead me home. So we understand that all things, not just all good things, not just all things that taste good, just all things, bitter things, mean things, evil things, lying to people, betrayers, haters of godliness, all things work together for our good. You need to be patient and be still and wait on the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Judas is among us. Let not your heart be troubled. Judas is going as filled with the devil. And none of you knew who he was. For when I said, one of you shall betray me, you said, is it I? But now he's going to be made known to everybody. His name is known down through the ages. And dear soul, God was in control of that. It doesn't matter if you've got a Judas among you. God said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you can't go where I'm going. And they said, well, where are you going? And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You don't understand it now. You will understand it later. Let's take it up. Let's take up where we left off in John chapter 13 and verse 36. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? He just had got through saying, ye cannot come in verse 33. And one of the things he did when he said, ye cannot come in verse 33, he locked them in with the Pharisees. He says, like I said to the Jews, I'm going to say it to you. Whither I go, you cannot come. Well, wait a minute. We don't want to be lumped in with them old hypocritical Jews. Well, then where are you going that we, us and the Jews cannot come? Jesus answered, whither I go, verse 36. Jesus answered him, Peter, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. We understand then that God is telling Peter that he is going to have his cross that he is going to have to bear. You cannot follow me now, because now the cross work, the death of Christ, has to do with redemption. Peter, you will never by any of your sufferings provide redemption for yourself or anybody else. But you will follow me afterwards. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? What's the answer? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. But my crosses, Peter's cross, your cross, is not a cross to provide redemption. It's the same cross provided by God to kill out the flesh and to bring forth the maturity of the Spirit. But our cross is different from Christ's cross in that Christ's cross is the only one that provided redemption for all of God's elect for all of time. So we see, you shall follow me afterwards. Listen at John 21. John 21, verse 17. John 21, 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Here it is. Jesus is going to reveal to Peter's death. It's going to be different from Jesus' death. You cannot come where I'm going. It's a cross. You're going to have a cross. It's going to be my death. It's going to be your death. But it's going to be different. Your death will not provide redemption for yourself or any other person. But you will know by your own temptations, trials, mortifications, and understand more about my cross This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. He said, come on and follow me. I want you to come on and go with me. I'm going to lead you to your cross. I'm going to lead you in your cross. I'm going to lead you through your cross. So, Peter, you can't go with me through mine. Nobody can understand what happened to Jesus Christ in the days of his death, in the days of his dying, in the days of his going into the depths of hell and the grave. Nobody can perceive and understand that. But, dear soul, you come to understand more of it as you go through your own crosses. Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. That's how you'll come to know Jesus, not by studying your Bible only. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it fit, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's my ministry. Put you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. I must die. I must lay my body down. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor, he says, that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Verse 13 ends in the words in remembrance. Verse 15 ends with the words in remembrance. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, we apostles, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. His death is the pattern for all of our deaths. But my death, our death, any of our deaths cannot compare to his death because he died as the God-man. Nobody has ever died like that. Nobody has had sweat to become as great drops of blood in praying and agonizing over that death that he was going to enter into. Jesus Christ was going to satisfy the Father pertaining to the redemption of all those that God loved in him from the foundation of the world. He is going to provide for God everything God wanted as far as election and salvation is concerned. You can't enter into that. He has to be the God-man to be able to endure that sort of horrible shame and weight and death and crushing and grinding the powder. Except a kernel of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. God, the mighty maker, died. How? He gave up the ghost. How does God, who is life, die? I don't know, but it must be something horrible for life itself, not just to have life, but to be life, for life itself, life himself, to cease to exist. How can life die? It has to be a horrible transition. So, Peter, you cannot come into the redemptive death of Jesus Christ. You can come into the mortifying death of the Christian who follows Christ. That's the way that it should be. Listen at Paul in 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians talk about his death. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. He says, we're troubled on every side. In verse 8, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, for I have to learn to die daily. Die to myself. Die to my ambition. Die to my wants. Die to my purposes. Die to my dreams. And live only the death life. That is, stay dead to me and have God lead me in the way he would have me to go. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So if I bear about in my body, if I am bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, who is this that's living in me? If it's not me, if I'm dying in myself, then it has to be the Lord Jesus come and live through me. He says, for we which live are always... Wait a minute, I missed part of it. No, I didn't. The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The life of Jesus. He didn't say the Lord Jesus here. He says Jesus. I'm bearing my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Substitution. But then who is it that lives in me? I want for me to live as Christ. He says, for we which live are all the way delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. You need to stay out of the way. You need to stay dead. You need to require a resurrection to be able to do anything you do for the glory of God, because you're a dead man. And that's what Paul said. When I am dead to myself, then I am weak, then am I strong, because God has to come in and be my strength through me. So I understand that when I am nothing, when I am dead, when I am weak, then God lives in me and through me, and then am I strong. So he says, we're always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh. It's a continued thing. So death worketh in us, but life in you. That's how the apostle described it. So the Lord Jesus tells Peter, you can't come to me and come with me in this. Nobody can. Nobody can. Nobody in heaven, nobody in earth, no other person of the Trinity, no other person of the humanity of man. This is something that he who is the fullest of the Godhead bodily must go into, and I will cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So it's me alone, separated from the Father, which had never been done throughout all eternity. But this is something I must do myself. I have to bow and worship and praise him and thank God for Jesus Christ and tell the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help me that I might attain to some greater degree of worship, spiritual worship, not just sing songy little songs that we sung at church, not just little memorized prayers, not just reducing this Jesus of Nazareth to a miracle worker or a man with a beard and a long robe and sandals and picturing him in all this foolishness that religion has put up to us. But Lord, help me to come to understand how glorious you are, and that nobody could have done this. Nobody had the ability to do it, and nobody was willing to do it. There have been people in our lives that have been able to help us, but they were not willing. But that's not Jesus. And there have been people in our life that were willing to help us, but they were not able. Couldn't help, not because they didn't want to. But Jesus Christ was both willing and able. He did it. Nobody in the whole universe. There is no name above his name that has highly exalted him, because he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. But dear soul, we put so many names above Jesus in our life. There's so many names that titillate our senses and make us joyful and excited about whatever that name represents, more than the name Jesus does. And that's sad. Oh, it's sad. And I ask God to forgive me all the time about not having the ability, the righteous, glorious ability to worship the Lord Jesus as I should. But we take him as a servant. We keep him down. We say, well, he had to do that or I would have died and went to hell. How does that sound? Sounds like to me we think more of ourselves than we do of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my soul. Peter, you cannot come. Peter saith unto him, this is John 13 and verse 37. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Mr. Argumentative Peter. What do you mean I can't follow thee now? Don't you know I will lay down my life for thy sake? Boy, he thought a lot of himself, didn't he? Well, don't throw rocks at Peter. So do we. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? You won't even last through three crows of a rooster in order to save your hide. You're going to lay down your life for my sake? You're going to stand up there and say, I am one of his disciples. This is my master. This is God. This is the Lord God. This is Messiah. You're going to stand. You're warming yourself by the world's fires. And you're going to stand there and have a woman who's going to bring you down. Say, you are one of his disciples, and you're going to curse and swear. I'm talking about cuss words, folks, and swear that you never knew me. Wilt thou indeed lay down thy life for my sake? The rooster shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. I'm going to send a rooster preacher to convict you. And the Bible said Peter went out and wept bitterly. And Jesus asked him three times, lovest thou me? Now let's get back to that. You remember when you said that you'd lay down your life for me? Yeah. Well, come find out it was just a woman that brought you down. The woman said, I know that you're one of his disciples. Your speech betrayeth thee. I can tell you're a Galilean by the way you talk. And I know that you've been seen with this man. And Peter cursed and swore and said, I never knew him. And there was a sound came out of the barnyard. Mr. Rooster Preacher. That's one. Second time, Rooster Preacher. That's two. Third time he denied him, Rooster Preacher. That's three. And Peter remembered. Peter said, I want to put you in remembrance as long as I'm alive, to know these things. I read you those things in 2 Peter chapter 1. To put you in remembrance, even after my decease. He knew how important remembrance was because a rooster made him remember. And he remembered the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. See, Peter, you can't follow me where I'm going. When it comes to lay down your life, I was going to lay down my life that I may take it again. But no man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it back up. Peter, you don't even have the power to lay down your life. You're not going to give up your life for me. You're going to lie and cuss and swear. And that's going to take a rooster to bring down the amount of understanding that God has about you to make you understand that you're not who you think you are. And Jesus said, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. Whew, ain't that good? Isn't that good? I go to prepare a place for you. And Peter, You'll be in that place on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. They were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Oh, my word. Others doubted, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, whose name appears that you wouldn't expect would ever be seen or heard of again. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. And he begins to tell them that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, him being delivered, wait a minute, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands, your hands are wicked, you have crucified and slain whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Then Peter saith unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward, this perverse and wicked generation. That was Peter. The only reason that Peter was able to be used on Pentecost in the way he was after he denied and cursed the Lord Jesus Christ was because Jesus had prepared a place for him. Do you realize, Christian, that the reason you breathe in God's good air, the reason that you're able to walk and talk and sleep and go about your business is because in spite of our sins, in spite of our denials, in spite of our weaknesses, Jesus Christ went to a place that we cannot go, that no other place, no other person could ever go, no other place person ever went, and he prepared a place for us in the presence of Almighty God. And God has honored his work, and he has lifted you up out of the miry clay, and he has brought you into a large, good place. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I will lay down my life for you. Matthew 16, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. Come here, Lord. I'll straighten you out. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. If he does away with his death, he does away with his resurrection on the third day. He says, this shall not be. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, For thou savorest, you're mindful of the things that be of God, that savoreth, not mindful of the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You have a carnal mindedness. You're looking at this thing only through the natural mind and through your own reason and logic, which is a depraved mind, depraved reason, depraved logic. Only until you go through your cross, only until I recover you, only until I provide for you this place, the place of redemption, the place of the filling of the Holy Spirit, a place of letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, will you understand? But until then, you can't go with me. You're not qualified. You're not able. It would be wrong to even allow you to enter into the slightest bit of it. It would destroy you immediately. Nobody is able to endure what the God-man endured in providing our redemption. The full force of the wrath of Almighty God fell upon him, and everything that was equivalent to the damnation of our souls, which we deserved as sinners, fell upon Jesus Christ, and he bore it all. You cannot go with me, but I have provided and provided a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And in that place, it was not James or John or Thomas or any of the other apostles. It was Mr. Self-Righteous Peter, after God had conquered him and led him into this place, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that God stood him up on Pentecost and let him preach the first gospel message, and let him undo that which he had done in denying Christ. Now he says this same Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. He is the one that is the Messiah, and ye have taken with wicked. He put that man's blood upon them. That's what the ruler said. You're causing us to be responsible for this man's blood. He was. It wasn't some little silly woman, and I don't mean to play down women, but as far as Peter was concerned, it wasn't just a woman that said, I know who you are. I know you're one of his disciples. Your accent as a Galilean betrays you. And Peter cursed. It was a woman that brought him down. He couldn't even stand up against a female, warming himself by the world's fires. I'll lay down my life for you, Lord. You won't even lay down your reputation for me. You won't even identify with me. Jesus made himself of no reputation. And dear soul, he had the reputation of being God. The angels of God worshiped him as very God. And he made himself without reputation, but Peter and the rest of us, we don't want anybody to think ill of us. But Jesus provided a place for us. Let me read you in the book of the Revelation, chapter 12. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12. And it speaks of the devil as a great dragon. And as of the church being clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, she's encased with reflection, reflective light and glory, crown of 12 stars upon her head. Those 12 stars in chapter 1 and verse 20 are said to be the ministers of the gospel. And she her glory, a woman's hair is her glory, and the glory of this woman in her hair is the preachers of the gospel, and that's her tiara. And Satan comes as she brings forth a man-child, verse 5 of Revelation 12, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's the ascension, the ascension, resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And then what happened? Verse 6 is where I want to get you to. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ was raised up unto the throne of God. Verse 6. And the woman, well, what happens back on earth to the church? And the woman fled into the wilderness, listen, where she hath a place prepared of God. The church in the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's the length of the gospel age. And then it says also in Revelation 12, verse number 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that's the Holy Spirit, that she should fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. That's the Lord taking care of the church throughout the church age. And she is where? In her prepared place. As far as the world is concerned, it's like a wilderness. But we find, dear soul, that Satan has no place. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, fought against the dragon, the devil. And the dragon fought in his angels, the demons. Listen, verse 8 of Revelation 12. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. For God to provide a place for us, he provided that there was no place for the devil. For him to deliver them who all their lifetime were subject to fear, subject to bondage and fear of death, he had to destroy him that had the power of death. So he cast Satan out. He said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Cast him out. So that we might be able to rise up, O men of God, come up into the heavenlies, come up into the spiritual realm. I cast Satan out. I provided a place for you. He did this at the cross. It was done at the cross. Satan was cast out at the cross. The church was provided a place in the wilderness, as it were, at the cross. This is the way that it was to be. And while we're thinking about that, look at Luke 15. Luke 15. You might remember that this is the chapter in which the 90 and 9 were brought forth. Luke 15, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, listen, doth not leave the 90 and 9 where? In the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it. Those that are secure, those that are in Christ's fold, that are in Christ's keeping, they are well kept in the wilderness, a prepared place, while he goes out and looks for the lost sheep to bring them in. Satan is cast out of his place. We are brought into our place. That's the way that it is. So we see, dear soul, that Jesus provides a place for Peters who deny him. He provides a place for the 90 and 9 that are securely saved and safe while he goes out and brings in the others that are lost. We are taken care of. Jesus provided a place for us. Where is that place? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That place is nestled in the bosom of Jesus Christ. If you believe on me, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth not is condemned already, because you have not believed in the place, the only place, where there is eternal spiritual security, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our place. Isn't God good? It's a place of guidance. Let me finish out with these verses. The book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, and verse 30. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place. The woman had a place prepared in the wilderness. That's what it said in Revelation 12:6. And God said, I not only took care of you in the wilderness, but now that you crossed into Canaan, he said, and I am going to prepare for you in this place. God shall take care of you wherever you are. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 52. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guideth them in the wilderness like a flock. Dear soul, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. If God grants you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though like Peter you may have denied him, even though like Peter you may have cursed and swore that you didn't know him, yet if God grants you faith and grants you opportunity to come and bask into the sunlight of his love and nourishes you in the bosom of Jesus Christ by faith, he has prepared a place for you. And always remember, it was a place where no other creature has ever been. It was a place where no other creature could ever go. It was a place wherein he went and drank down the dregs of sin and shame and ungodliness and swallowed it all down, that he might bring you to a place where you could actually stand before Almighty God, and brought you without any jealousy in to be equal with him, co-inheritors with him, sons of God, crying Abba Father, that we cry Abba Father because Christ has brought us into this place. We are equal inheritors with him. He has provided a place for you like no other place has ever been provided. And he has provided a place for you because no other one could ever provide it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He's the one that made it white as snow. Take your crown off, cast it at his feet. Give all glory to the Lamb, for worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God bless you. God have mercy on us. Help us to walk in the ways of God for his glory, and always give the glory to Jesus Christ alone. Amen.